This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Six capitals, 6 points of view. Keith, the news of the week, other than the war fighting in Bakhmut, grinds on, a stalemate, apparently, although we don't get good reporting from either side about casualties and plans. The talk of the counteroffensive remains unclear. However, there was a significant diplomatic development. A phone call between President General Secretary Xi Jinping in Beijing and President Zelensky in Kyiv, in which there was exchange of ideas, including a possible diplomatic relations. And I believe this was a call that was expected for some days about peace. But I mentioned, Professor, that since that call, there have been articles, and one in particular in the National Review Online, underlining that it is not looked with favor that Zelensky is speaking openly of support or working relations or diplomatic niceties with Xi Jinping, who in the Republican Party, and I believe it's true in the Democratic Party, is regarded as a predator and the supervisor of a state that practices sadism. So I mention that because we're in an election cycle and the Republican Party will look for advantage.
Well, I agree with you in what you say about the United States. I think that it's essential that all people who were students of this war in the United States have some understanding of Zelensky's position, and that he, one of the things he's been trying to do since the war began is to somehow get the Chinese deeply enough committed to international legal norms that it becomes impossible for them to ally with Russia. And the Chinese, Mr. Xi, has this idea that he's going to be a world peacemaker. And when Zelensky and Xi talked, Zelensky pressed him that China could never be an acceptable peacemaker if she took sides in the war. So she has not denounced the Russian invasion of a sovereign country, even though she is a member of the UN and a signatory to the charters and all the rest. There's no question that invading a sovereign country for no reason is a violation of international law. So she realized that his idea of becoming a great international figure was not going to work if he also was leaning strongly to Russia at the same time. Now, Russia, of course, has been hoping very much Russia has been hoping very much that China is going to dash to her rescue. And what she has done, what Zelensky has done with this call, is to really novel that Chinese idea. And to make it worse, after the talks and discussion, and of course we're so purist. I mean, I don't understand, but I it's too late for us to get the Congress to understand this stuff. But after the call, the Chinese ambassador in France, who is a well-educated man, went on a kind of wolf warrior rant, and he said that in fact, since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, none of the 14 states that emerged had legal status. And he also said that the stands were also legally dubious. And this put China in a very difficult position, because although it may be that, as rumor has it, that Xi and Putin quietly kind of had a chat at the very end about how the real thing they've got to cooperate in doing is reconstructing the old Eastern Bloc and getting it back the way it was in the good old days of the Berlin crisis and Checkpoint Charlie and all that stuff. It's quite plausible that this is what she believes in, because this is what he grew up with in his formative years. And the Chinese will say that his mind basically froze after he was about 20. So he didn't he doesn't really understand that Russia is not the Soviet Union and such things. But what has happened as a result of this, as a result of this phone call, is that that the idea that China is going to come in on Russia's side has been reduced really to really almost an impossibility. There's also an interesting rumor that Mr. Macron, bless his heart, asked Xi to promote a French plan, a French peace plan, but it was going to be presented as a Chinese peace plan, the heart of which would be that if Ukraine would only stop hanging on to Crimea and Donbass, then Russia could keep them, and then Crimea could keep whatever was left, and I mean Ukraine could keep whatever was left, and that would bring peace. And my reaction was that poor Macron, I mean, he's at least as lacking in perception of international politics as de Gaulle. I started thinking not since Napoleon III or Clemenceau if we had such brilliant minds leading France. And I would say that Clemenceau, we have to understand, is one of the people who led to World War II. So I think that the Zelensky phone call is of importance, but we in America clearly don't understand what he did. What he's doing is what India is doing all the time. We're always complaining that India is helping Russia. No, India is trying to be important enough to Russia that Russia will not form a tight alliance with China, because that would be very, very bad news for India. And the Indians are not clueless. They know that communism is terrible and that the system in Russia is terrible, but they have to keep themselves as a kind of wedge between those two, and you either understand that or you don't. The other news from Ukraine is that the Ukrainians are across the Dnipro River, and they're into northern Kherson, and they're approaching the Perekop Peninsula, which is the land bridge to the Crimea, and this is not finished yet, but I think there's a very good possibility that Ukrainians are going to succeed in getting into Crimea. And then we'll be facing the real end game, because it's not clear to me how the Russians can reinforce Crimea, particularly if the Ukrainians take out the bridge, which I'm sure they will do at some point, and they control the Dnipro crossings. They've already blown all the bridges there. This is going to be a very, very difficult. As I said at the outset, we're dealing now with the beginning of the end. And unless there's some remarkable development, which is always possible, I think that we're now on course for a Russian defeat, and that Putin's job is to make that do as little harm as possible to his country. For us to for anybody to cave, as say Mr. Macron is suggesting, on principles of national sovereignty and inviolability of borders and all the rest, would be much harder than it was at Munich. Because so much more international law has been developed and ratified. And the Chinese say, well, this is all this Western system. Well, it isn't really Western. The author of the UN Human Rights Declaration was P.C. Zhang, who was a very, very distinguished Chinese educator, a jurist, a sort of polymath. His brother, Zhang Bolin, was the founder of Nankai University. So what is being dismissed as the Western system is, in fact, the Western system as presented, above all, by a Chinese author. But, of course, the Chinese won't claim this guy because he wasn't a communist.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We go to Brussels, the twin capital in Europe. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.